So who of you do Zoom meetings or Skype meetings for work or with friends or with family? Has anybody ever done some Zoom meetings or Skype meetings? Yeah, I see some hands. I see those hands. So, you know, those, I don't know if you've been in one of these Zoom meetings where everybody's cameras are off, so you actually see nobody's faces and nobody's saying anything, and it's quiet, and everybody's on mute, so no, you can't hear people saying anything. You see their little icon flashing, but maybe you can't hear because they're on mute. That's how I feel this morning. Thank you to COVID. There's usually a buzz in church, and everybody's chatting. This is my first time leading in COVID. Like Tuoma said, it's your first time leading in worship in COVID. And it's, yeah, weird to have it all so quiet. Can't see faces. Everybody's face behind, hidden behind a mask. So it's not part of my preach at all. That's just an observation from my point of view. Okay, so let's dive into some scripture for this morning. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 and 19, if you want to follow. But it's also going to be up there. Thank you, John. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 and 19. Okay, we've all got it. Paul writes to Timothy, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, by rejecting faith and a good conscience, some have made shipwreck of their faith." So two things stood out for me while I was reading this scripture. Well, quite a number of things stood out, but let's focus on two for this morning. One, suffered shipwreck. So these words are pretty self-explanatory. Suffer, it's not a nice word. Pain, trauma, suffering. Nobody likes to suffer. And shipwreck, I guess it's pretty much the same picture being painted. It's not a pleasant experience to experience a shipwreck. I don't know if anybody here has experienced a shipwreck. I certainly haven't. Capsized. Oh, you were in a boat that was capsized. Yeah, that sounds dangerous. But we're glad you're still here with us. With sharks in the sea. Are you sure you weren't watching Jaws? Just asking. Da 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 da. Okay, so suffering shipwreck, okay, it's not a nice picture, but those words speak for themselves, okay? So the Greek word for this is nauagio, and that has a root meaning in the word navigate. So we are navigating our ships, hopefully not onto the rocks. It also has a meaning in the phrase to lead away. So, navigate and to lead away. That's what this phrase means, suffered shipwreck. So, we are led away into dangerous waters, into shallows, and into places where the sharp rocks are just beneath the edge of the surface of the water, where our boats can be sunk and broken up. Okay, so that's what this picture is painting for us. Suffering shipwreck. Now, Paul certainly knows what he was talking about when he writes this to Timothy. Because we also read in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 25, don't go there, just quoting a piece of that scripture. "Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I was adrift at sea." Were you adrift a day and a night at sea, Linda? Just checking. Okay, it's good. Glad you got rescued quicker than Paul. Imagine being stuck out of the ocean after having suffered a shipwreck for one full day and one full night. Just being there, drifting out alone in the open ocean. It's a terrifying experience, I'm sure. Now, like I've said before, I haven't been in a shipwreck myself, but we have experienced something along those lines quite a couple of years ago. Myself, my wife, and two of our friends were swept out to the sea, into the deep ocean almost. We were about 900 meters out already from the beach, which was very far. It's almost a kilometer. With a strong current, and we couldn't get out. And that was a terrifying experience. You're seeing the land about this size. You can make out pretty much nothing but a little stripe. That's the land. And you're sinking. You can't breathe. And your strength is running out because you're trying to wave and shout. And the more you wave and shout, the more your strength runs out. And the more hope you lose of ever seeing the light of day again. It was a traumatic experience. And sadly, our one friend did pass away in the incident. So it wasn't, you know, that scar or that mark has been left forever. It's not a great experience. So Paul survived this three times, being shipwrecked, stuck out in the ocean. Sorry, I'm actually not following my notes at all. Where am I now? I'm ad-libbing. So I think we can all agree that suffering a shipwreck is quite serious and could even cost a life. Now, Paul is not writing about something that could kill us physically. Paul is writing about something that could kill us spiritually, suffering a spiritual shipwreck. So we're finding ourselves in a place of despair, hopelessness, and darkness, sinking down into the depths, spiritually. So how do we get to this place of suffering a spiritual shipwreck? That brings me to the second point that stood out. And I read it there as well. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. So, two instructions. If we hold on to the faith and we hold on to a good conscience before God, that's the way to keep yourself from not suffering a spiritual shipwreck. Have you faced situations in your life that has caused your faith to be rocked? Just hands up. Has your faith ever been challenged or rocked? Yeah? Thank you. I see that hand, Linda. I know your boat's been rocked, but it's also seeing your faith been rocked. So yes, I certainly have. I mean, most of you know our story, that our journey from the past couple of years. So we have faced many of life's storms, and in all of those storms, it's a choice. You have to choose to keep your faith and a good conscience before God. So sometimes, suddenly and unexpectedly, we find ourselves in a storm. Okay? So sometimes you don't see it coming. Suddenly you lose a job. Didn't see it coming, just you get a call, your job is gone. Or you lose a loved one. Or you get a diagnosis, like me. So 2 years ago, like I say, most of you probably know this, I got diagnosed with a brain tumor. And that was quite a journey. Quite a journey for us. It required many faith fights. Shipwrecked our faith almost a number of times. You wake up at 3 in the night and you can't sleep and you run worst case scenarios of what's going to happen, thinking about diagnoses, doctors, how it's all going to end, what will the future hold. And it's a fight. It doesn't come easy to hold your faith when these life's storms come. But it's a fight. You have to keep it. You have to stand steadfast. So, we've gone through many different things. Doctors, treatments, brain radiation, a brain biopsy where they drilled a hole in my skull. That was fun. I wasn't awake. And so, can't really remember much. Chemotherapy, brain radiation. So through all of these things, you have to keep the faith. And you have to keep a good, clean conscience before God. Don't question God You know, you question, why God, why me? And you want to judge and you want to be angry. And those feelings are all probably natural because we're just human beings. But keep a clean conscience. That's what Paul charges Timothy with. So obviously that was just the one, and we had many other situations, and we all face many other situations through our lives. And all of them calls for us to stand steadfast and hold on to faith and a good conscience. Okay, so that's the one thing that could happen. Unexpectedly, quite suddenly, bam, in the middle of a storm. So the other thing can also happen. It's an almost invisible cycle, a slow, steady creep of iniquity. Maybe you've made a bad decision, and one bad decision leads to another bad decision. And so slowly fading away, taking you further and further from the heart of God. Strings of bad decisions, choices taking you further from God. And increasing bitterness. Maybe you've allowed bitterness to get into your hearts. Bitterness against somebody or something or a situation. And that bitterness is sitting there, driving a rift between you and your and God in your relationship. Maybe you're searing your conscience by doing the same sin over and over and over again. And it's getting easier every time you do it, and you're feeling less and less guilty about that thing. A love of this world, that's one of the parables of the sower. What happens to those seeds? The love and the cares of this world just constrict those seeds and prevents them from growing. Bad theology. You get theology everywhere these days. Everybody's got an opinion. You can go on YouTube, you can go on Facebook, you can go everywhere. People send you little videos of everybody making little video keys of themselves, voice notes. Theology is everywhere today, but not all of it is good. Bad theology creeping in, allowing culture to shape what you believe about Jesus. And you think that's a problem these days? Everybody wants to tell you how to see and view Jesus, what they think Jesus should be like and do, and how you read your Bible. Culture would love to tell us how to read and understand our Bibles, how to interpret what they think this world needs in from the Bible today. So whether you are fighting a storm in this moment, a major crazy storm, or whether you realize that you've gotten stuck in a cycle of sin and iniquity slowly taking you away from the Lord, both of those are equally as dangerous, and you are at risk of suffering a faith shipwreck. So stand strong and be steadfast and hold on to a good conscience. Paul reminds young Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18 that he's fighting a battle. We've read that. So that by recalling them, the prophecies made about Timothy, you may fight the battle well. So we often refer to our Christian walk, but that's not quite accurate. I think it would be more accurate to refer to our Christian fight. Because more often than not, we fight. More often than we walk. And that's what Paul says to Timothy. For by them fight the good fight. Paul says in Ephesians 6, Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. For we do not struggle against flesh and blood. Some translations say, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So there's a constant battle for our souls, a constant battle to keep the faith, a constant battle to keep a good conscience. The enemy never lets up. We're always his target. So now that we know that we're fighting a battle, we look again at those two simple instructions to hold on to the faith and hold on with a good conscience. These instructions prevent us from shipwrecking our faith and our relationship with Jesus. It prevents us from finding ourselves in a hopeless and dark place. Because, beloved, there is always hope. Never, ever think that you are in a place of total hopelessness. There's always hope in Jesus. He's always there with you, and he always throws you a lifeline. If your boat sinks, then he'll ask you to walk in the water to him. Okay. So even if you get to that place where your boat is totally broken up and you've totally, well, shipwrecked your boat, he'll still call you on the water, even in the midst of the storm, like we know he did with Peter. And you'll have to walk on the water. But again, what does walking on water require? Why did Peter sink? Ye of little? There we go. All I'm hearing is... Sorry. But I know you said faith. I know it. Bless you. So, no, Siri, not you. Sorry. Siri, yes. Sorry. So, yes, by faith. So that is, you know, what it still requires faith. Even after our boat has been broken up and we find ourselves in a terrible spot, where everything's been shipwrecked, and the Lord calls you out onto the water and to ignore the storms around you, that still requires faith. So we can't get away from this. Faith, faith, faith. Hold your faith and a good conscience. Again, sorry, ad-libbing totally. I don't know where I am in my notes. And I've done so very nice highlighting, and I still can't find my way. Yes, see. So, yeah, especially in times like these, guys, where, you know, you hear so many bad reports, fake news is all over. I mean, how many reports do we get these days of, which turns out to be totally fake, conspiracy theories? If I hear one more story about a 5G bat that flip and distributes stuff and that makes us sick, and you know, you get these things. I saw somebody sent me one like 2 weeks ago about the whole diagram of a conspiracy theory of 5G antennas which radiates bats, and then the bats, I don't know, I didn't quite follow the logic, if one can call it logic, but there are many conspiracy theories. Everybody's got an idea, everybody's got a story of how these things should work. You know, lockdown depression. I think we're all a little bit over lockdown. I think we all are feeling the pressures. You know, my parents, they do live in town, so we see them from a distance, but they're not allowed to touch the kids. And that's heartbreaking, because I see my dad just wanting to give my girls a hug, and he's not allowed. He's not allowed to touch them. He must stand far away because they're in school now, so they are getting exposed to many other kids at school. So, you know, we try and respect what we should respect, but it's tough. It's tough for grandma and grandpa, let alone, I think, other people maybe who has grandmas and grandpas in old age homes where they are totally on lockdown. I know Uncle Don, for those of you who know Uncle Don, Thuisheis, he's down in town in Thuisheis, and Thuisheis was totally locked down for 5 or 6 weeks or more. I mean, it may still even be, I don't know. So I speak to Uncle Don every now and again. They're not allowed to see anybody from the outside. Not even his own son can bring him anything, because he says if his son brings him something and the lady next door doesn't have any family left and she gets nothing, then that's not fair towards her. So now nobody's allowed to give anything to anybody. It's tough. I don't think we realize how tough it is. Lockdown depression, these things. Economic pressures. I mean, we're all feeling it. We're feeling economic pressure. Businesses are doing less. They are getting less money in. Maybe some of you have lost your jobs or have reduced income, or just you've sat at home for the whole of lockdown of six weeks, 8 weeks, and you haven't gotten any salary. It's tough. Uncertain future. You know, if you've lost your job, what now? What are you going to do? How are you going to provide? All of this steals our faith and our trust in Jesus. But these are passing, fleeting circumstances. It doesn't feel so fleeting now in the moment. But in the greater scheme of things, these are fleeting, fleeting moments before God. Because He is so much bigger than all of this. So much bigger. So God's got you in the palm of His hand. Hold on to your faith with a good conscience. Being caught in the storms of life and seeing your boat broken up and crumbling beneath you is a terrifying experience. But Jesus is there, like I said earlier, even waiting for you, even calling you onto the water if you have no boat anymore. Hold on to your faith and a good conscience. When the enemy uses your circumstances to rock your boat, oh, and he will. Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, is there with us. Hold on to your faith and a good conscience. Don't let the enemy steal your faith through epidemics, diseases, troubling times, all of these stuff. For God is bigger than all of this, and He's got all of us. Hold on to your faith with a good conscience. I close with a verse. Thank you, John. My trusty sidekick. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Don't try to make sense of these things. Don't try and plan how you're going to do it, what you're going to do, how you're going to get money, where you're going to get another job from. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, in everything you do, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So, beloved, whether you are this morning caught in a crazy storm, or whether you realize that there's a slow, steady creep, hold on to your faith. Jesus is there with you.